This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine with Tennille and Tass.
Yeah, I think we should say Saturday Magazine with Tass and Tennille.
Okay.
I think it sounds better.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah.
So what are we doing next, Tennille?
Well, we are going to find out what's the skinny on City of Melbourne mayoral candidates, because we've got a by-election coming up.
We certainly have. It's actually a pretty important election because it's the mayoralty election.
It is, yep.
We're going to speak with two candidates today, and in fairness, we're going to ask them the same questions.
We take this very seriously.
We certainly
do. We do not want to sway anyone's
That's
vote.
That's absolutely
yet.
Right.
No, we won't sway.
We want to be as fair as we possibly can. Mm. So we're going to start with Rohan
Leppert,
who's a sitting councillor. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Rohan.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well on this beautiful Melbourne morning.
It's wet outside, though.
It's horrible.
So, Rohan, tell us, why do you want to be a mayor?
It's a big question, and this by-election has come about for very particular circumstances, and we're in a quite a unique situation. My first reason is very policy-based, and that is that Melbourne is growing faster than it has any time since the gold rush. And we can either develop the city in the public interest or we can develop in the interest of the biggest developers. So I've been on council for 6 years now and have a good track record of balancing property interests and the public interest fairly. But I'm very worried that unless we do a lot more to make sure that we're designing high quality buildings and building all of the community infrastructure that we need for a growing city, that Melbourne isn't going to be the wonderful livable place that we know now in 30 years' time.
Okay, so livability, that's what you're wanting to achieve. Tell us,
Rob,
what are your top three priorities then?
Well, high quality design. I think good design saves money. There's a lot of what I'm calling cheap density happening in the central city at the moment. And I'm worried that places like Fisherman's Bend and Arden and all of our urban renewal areas won't be that walkable, fine-grained place that we love now. Secondly, I think we need to make sure that the culture at Town Hall is as healthy as it possibly can be. And I think that's why we need a sitting councillor, someone who knows the culture as it currently is and all of the very difficult times that we've had over the last 3 months. We need to make sure that whoever comes in halfway through the term isn't trying to completely change the council 180 degrees. You only have to look at Geelong City Council a couple of years ago to see where that goes.
Oh, yes.
And lastly, I think the Lord Mayor needs to be someone who can praise the diversity and the inclusion of our city. We are so lucky to be living in Melbourne. I'm very grateful, at least, to be living in Melbourne. As far as Australia goes, I think it's one of the most inclusive and diverse places you can find. But with the sort of rhetoric we see from the federal level, I think there's more of a place than ever for someone like the Lord Mayor of Melbourne to lead by example and make sure that we're looking out for everyone, no matter what their background is.
Okay. So, Rohan, you did mention that obviously City of Melbourne is going through a little bit of a rocky patch at the moment. How would a council led by you be different?
Well, it is a very rocky patch at the moment. And in many ways, Robert Doyle was a wonderful salesperson for the city and a very, very effective Lord Mayor. I know he's a big contributor to this program quite regularly. The issue I talked about with Geelong is one that we need to remember. I mean, Darren Lyons had a very particular personality, which, you know, preceded him. But by promising massive change from the outside and coming in finding that you've got no alliances on the inside, it can render the rest of the term quite unstable and difficult to deal with. So we need someone who has experienced the last 3 months of very challenging culture at Town Hall, who understands the people and the relationships at play, and who can do everything possible to make sure that we're all working together. There are 11 very skilled and gifted councillors on the council. I think a few changes do need to be made. I would promise for an open door Lord Mayor's office, certainly no alcohol in there, do my very best to make sure that we're a collaborative council of 11, no captain's calls.
Okay.
Rohan, should you win the election, what can our community expect from you? And obviously you're a member of our community as well. What would a council led by you deliver for LGBTI people, their families and their communities?
So, yes, I am a gay man. I'm certainly not going to be asking anyone during the election to say vote for me because I'm gay, but I think it's good to have a diversity of leaders of the city.
Absolutely.
Also 33, which happens to be 5 years older than the median age, but obviously there's a bit of an age difference to some previous Lord Mayors as well. So I think the very fact of that difference is important. It shows that different sorts of people can be in public life. But as far as the LGBTI community is concerned, I've had the great privilege of being in regular contact with our premier LGBTI organisations like Joy, like Melbourne Queer Film Festival, like Midsummer, and others through my portfolio, the arts, culture and heritage portfolio. And so I'm, you know, aware possibly more than most about the needs of those organisations. But I think we also need to make sure that we're doing so much more for visibility of trans issues and making sure that ageing LGBTI people are as supported as they possibly can be in the middle of our city, which is getting much, much bigger, much very quickly. And I think the best thing the City of Melbourne has done this year, which I'm so proud of, is the Coming Back Out Ball. More stuff like that to make sure that people who are ageing or have more reason to feel discriminated against than perhaps most LGBTI people are being supported by the community and are being supported by the government.
I heard the ball was an absolute success. I didn't make it myself. I didn't feel that I was quite the right age, yes, but I heard it was a very, very good ball. So congratulations for your role in making that happen as well, Rohan.
Mm. So,
thank
Rohan,
you. It was, yeah.
Perfect. So as Joy's landlord in this very, very great facility we have here, what commitments could you make to us if you were to become the next Lord Mayor?
Well, I'm aware, of course, that Joy and Midsummer and MQFF are all due to head down to the new Pride Centre, which is outside the City of Melbourne, of course, down in St Kilda. But we've got to make sure that that transition is absolutely seamless. I'm a bit worried about the gaps in time between today and the opening of the Pride Centre. I think there is a role for the City of Melbourne to play to minimise that disruption as much as possible. We're also a funder of all three organisations, regular funding for Midsummer and MQFF, and I'm very, very keen to make sure that that continues.
Okay.
I didn't realise you were a funder of Joy as well, so that's great to hear that.
Okay.
Through discounted rates and through program-based funding we are. I note that we haven't got regular operational funding for you guys. You do a wonderful job, but, you know, maybe there's room for that as well.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be an exciting thing to talk about at some point in the future. Thank you.
I've got to make the point, though, that I can't unilaterally promise these sorts of things. This is my point about the culture at Town Hall. I think you've got to be wary in this election of drastic changes being promised because we have a council plan in place and we've got 10 councillors already. The Lord Mayor will have one more vote to make up 11 and he or she won't have any executive power. So we need to make sure, first and foremost, that the City of Melbourne, which has 1,600 staff in it and all of the wonderful talents and skills that are embedded in that, are led in a consultative and collaborative way. To be honest, this is an election that isn't going to decide who's going to completely change the direction of the city. The role of the Lord Mayor is one of influence and clout. It's not one of direct power, but obviously I've got my vision for the city, which might be different to everybody else's, but it's difficult to know in this election whose promises are necessarily able to be delivered.
Of course.
Okay, so at the conclusion of your first term, if you were to be successful, what would you like your legacy to be and how do you wish to be remembered?
I would love it. And legacy is a longer term thing, right? So I would like in 30 years' time for us to be looking back to the decisions that were made by government in 2018 and onwards as good ones that have left the livability, the vibrancy and the fine grain, really well-designed streets in the city produce a vibrant and active place similar to the one we love today. So my overarching fear is that with these massive blocks going up in Fisherman's Bend and Arden, and I'm no critic of height per se, it's got to be high design, it's got high quality design, it has to be very sustainable design so that these buildings are cost effective and energy efficient over the long run, and it has to be areas that you can walk, linger, have a coffee with friends, feel comfortable in that public realm on those beautifully planned streets. Without that, everything that we love about the CBD in Melbourne isn't going to be transferred to an expanding central city, and we're not going to have the Melbourne that we love and treasure today, and it's just not going to be the melting pot and active place that we love. So I think this election is going to be about development, and I would love for my legacy, if I'm successful in becoming Lord Mayor, to be one of high quality design that keeps Melbourne's livability for future generations.
That's great. Rowan, and what's your final pitch? We're just about to sign off, but there's lots of people who are out there listening this morning who will be voting in the council election. So what's your final pitch to them?
Don't know how to rehash my development pitch. So again, don't vote for me because I'm gay. Look, I've got to keep saying this. I am on Joy after all.
Yeah.
But absolutely, this election is a choice between someone who can balance private interest and the public interest with quite a few candidates who have the interests of the biggest developers at heart. And that means that the direction that the central Melbourne can go in is pretty stark. We need to either govern in the interests of the community and build that community infrastructure, or we're going to see the biggest developers get away with what they think is the best situation for Melbourne. And I think we need to be incredibly worried about that. So vote for someone with a track record of balancing it correctly.
Councillor Rowan Leppert, Melbourne City Councillor mayoral candidate, thank you very much for your time this morning. And we wish you all the best with the coming elections.
Thank you, and a pleasure.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.